Live long and galaxy hopper. Be strong and don't be afraid.
And now, Planet Storytime listeners, here's T.M. Gannam's Live Long, Galaxy Hopper. Imagine that our great big sun, which is much, much bigger than our Earth, was the size of a tiny grain of sand. Now place that piece of sand in your hand. That's about what our sun looks like sitting inside our solar system. That's all eight planets which circle around it, along with our beloved Pluto. Now, place your hand down on the ground and imagine the whole country of the good old United States of America. Your wee hand compared to the big old USA is what our little solar system looks like in our incredibly huge galaxy, the Milky Way. Now, we're not sure just how many, but we think there are trillions and trillions of galaxies in this whole world we call the cosmos. So now imagine the big old country of the USA was the size of a tiny freckle on your cheek, and compare that tiny freckle to the rest of your whole body. That's how small our galaxy would look from the galaxy of Wuntoon, where our story begins. On the very northern tip of the Wuntoon galaxy floated a planet called Happy Diddy. It was a striking planet where the bodies of water hung above the ground, and the creatures that lived there floated in the space between. The creatures, like the planet itself, consisted of even more colors than we know down here on Earth. And these creatures of every size and shape were all busy doing nothing. In fact, nothing is all they did, floating in and out of sea and land and the space inside. By nothing, I mean nothing of critical importance, but not insignificant. For example, many floated about with their snozzle in a book, or some banged on drums that drifted along with them, or some made up their hair and eyelashes, trying to catch up to a traveling mirror. Some gabbed to each other in soaring groups, bouncing off the land below and dipping into the water above. All was anywhere and everything was done while doing very little. Some called it paradise. Livelong called it home. And home was ever so special because Livelong spent so much time away from it, hopping from galaxy to galaxy. You see, Livelong had a special gift to sense trouble where it may be anywhere across the cosmos, and then had the ability to travel at the speed of light to the source of the trouble. That is for short trips. For longer trips, Livelong used a special trick to cut through space and time in a fraction of a second. That's a story for down the road. But for now, just know that Livelong could disappear and reappear anywhere in the magnificent cosmos at will. And Livelong's superpowers didn't end there. Now, it's hard to describe what Livelong looks like. Livelong isn't a boy or a girl or even anything in between. Livelong isn't a dog or a cat, beast or plant, and yet somehow, Livelong is all of those things. You see, Livelong is more of an idea, like a cloud of thought that travels infinitely far and exceptionally fast. So depending on the situation, Livelong could appear as a girl or a boy or in between, a cat or dog, plant or beast. In fact, to solve the problems of a whole universe, Livelong has to become whatever is necessary. Best to give you an example of when it all started for Livelong. Now, since all the creatures on the planet of Happy Diddy in the galaxy of Wuntoon just float around doing nothing in particular, Livelong, on a particularly lazy day, was drifting about like a dandelion seed when a feeling emerged around Livelong's puffy cloud of colors. And an electric sting caused a buzzy buzzing, and deep in Livelong's feeling of feels, a warmth made for a comfort and stillness. And then... Livelong disappeared from Happy Diddy in the galaxy of Wantoon and reappeared in Flumara in the galaxy of Ilmore. Livelong wondered if it was a dream. Flumara was a planet small enough that one could see the curve of the orb descend down into the cosmic spaces of the Ilmore galaxy. Flumara was bright pink all the way around, and there seemed to be no one on it. It was like standing on a big, clean, empty pink ball. Livelong called out, "Anybody here?" Nothing but silence. "Anyone at all?" "I sense trouble. I guess that's the last feeling I had before I got here anyway. Anything I can help with?" But no response. Livelong spoke out loud into the thin Flumara atmosphere, which was also pink, and said, "I can see why no one lives here. It's way too pink. Way too pink."
"Yes. Why, yes. You're right. Why, yes. You're absolutely right,"
said a small voice. Livelong swept over to the sound, and a round yellow ball popped out of the pink planet's surface and bounced in perfect 4-4 time, speaking out of the top of its bald yellow head, and said,
"True pink, you're absolutely right. That's why we're all hiding, hiding in the center of our beloved Flumara. But you see, our planet used to have purple air. There was balance, you see. Now it's all just a pink, pink, pink. We need our purple back, you see."
"But where did it all go?" asked Livelong.
"Well, you see,
"Well, what is it?" pleaded Livelong.
"Well, it's quite embarrassing, you see.
"Out with it," blurted Livelong excitedly, perhaps a bit too excitedly, and quickly added, "Please?"
"And you see, we made it go away, you see. Well, you see, we made it go away, you see,"
chimed in a chorus of 9 billion more balls that had suddenly popped out of the pink surface of Flumara to join in.
I see,
said Livelong in time with their chanting. "But why? If you need it so much, why did you make the purple go away?"
We'll be right back.
A family of blue people from the bright yellow planet take a fantabulous summer vacation trip all over the universe. Young Haon gets kidnapped by giant rats, and the whole family almost gets danced to death in outer space, but they still manage to go to intergalactic beaches, county fairs, nightclubs, motels, and they go shopping. On the podcast, I'll read from my middle grade novel version, and I'll play songs from the album. So come hear Space Vacation, the musical, and remember, the universe is like a song.
"Some people think that is all of us balls started to say that purple was bad, that pink was so much better."
"Well, how come?" asked Livelong.
"Just being kind of mean, I guess. Sometimes people, even us balls, like to pick on things. Not very nice, I know. But when everyone is doing it, you just kind of go along, you see."
"That is, until you go too far," interjected Livelong.
"That is right, yes, you see. We were mean, you see. And purple went
You don't know what you have until you can no longer see it, added Livelong wisely.
I guess that's how it works. I see.
I see. I see. You made it go away. I see. And then somehow a feeling that just felt right came to be, and Livelong said, Well, look at me. Look at me. Perhaps I can be that which you'd all like to see. And just like that, with all the bouncing yellow balls looking up, they saw Livelong's clouds spreading out all across the sky of Flumara, stretching purple air around the entire pink planet. Livelong became what the people, in this case the ball people, wanted to see. And when they saw it, and loved it, and brought it into their hearts, purple came back and spread across the land, and the yellow balls bounced and bounced with delight in double time.
You're back! You're back! Our purple is back! We see! We see! Forgive us our indignity!
And indeed, the purple did. And the planet of Flumara in the galaxy of Ilmor was righted in its balance of pink and purple, and the yellow balls could enjoy their planet again, which was restored by putting away their meanness, allowing harmony to flourish once again. And Livelong lived right in the galaxy hopper way, holding a mirror to the heart of the world. Livelong drifted among the dark purple clouds of Flumara, rising above the little dots of the yellow ball bouncers, and uttered into the black cosmos above and all around. Now, which way is home? How shall Livelong find home? Remember, the journey of a trillion light years begins with one. That's all for today, fellow galaxy hoppers, and always remember, Livelong! The end. And now, Planet Storytime listeners, here's T.M. Gannam's Livelong Galaxy Hopper. Episode 2, Gonquick and the Black Hole. But first, last time on Livelong Galaxy Hopper. After realizing the gift of galaxy hopping to rescue those in need, Livelong the Good Cloud emerged from Flumara in the galaxy of Ilmor, unsure of which way to turn. Now, which way is home?
Well, I do believe it's that way,
said a familiar voice out of nowhere that startled Livelong, making its rainbow-colored cloud drizzle just a little. Gonquick? Uttered Livelong in disbelief. Indeed, it was Gonquick. Who's Gonquick, you might ask? Well, Gonquick is Livelong's houseplant back home on the planet of Happy Ditty in the galaxy of Wantoon. I mean, everyone has a houseplant, even on Happy Ditty, where folks just float around all day. Gonquick liked to keep an eye on Livelong, and Livelong liked having Gonquick around, but had no idea the flowing philodendron had tagged along. How did you get here? Asked Livelong incredulously.
Well, you see, it's a very short story. You pulled me along.
Pulled you along? Well, Gonquick, with all due respect, I don't see how that's possible. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. All of a sudden, I was being sucked into the galaxy of Ilmor. Who knows how many light years away?
Oh, it's approximately 300 million light years away. 299 and three quarters light years away, to be exact. But I went ahead and rounded up.
You see, Gonquick is a bit of a know-it-all. Gonquick, being such a superbrain, was like most things. You've got to take the good with the bad. Gonquick, thank you for that, but let's stick to the point. How did you get here?
Well, like I said, the story is quite short. You pulled me here. A little long, perhaps it's time to get your hearing checked. Understandable. Gradual deterioration in any of our senses is quite normal.
Livelong, not typically being one to interrupt, decided this might be a good time, and with a big breath interjected, Please, my good friend, do explain how you got here in greater detail than I just pulled you along.
Now that you mention it, there is a longer story that could help to explain what I am guessing is the more scientific process by which we both arrived in this location, and coordinates being...
Liblong simply had to interject again. Let's not worry about the coordinates just yet, Gonquick. Just please tell me so that I can understand.
Well, all right, this is my hypothesis.
You mean your guess, right?
Oh, that's right. My guess based on what I know. Now, if you remember, we were floating around Happy Diddy when all of a sudden there was a buzzy buzzing and an electric sting.
Yes, I remember.
Well, I felt it too. Guess because we're so close. You really are a great friend, Liblong, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate...
Oh, Gonquick, of course. We're beloved friends. Now, please... Get on with your guess,
affirmed Liblong, now taking especially deep cloud breaths.
Well, I believe there was a strong energy that your puffy cloud of goodness was able to detect, and you decided to go there to see if you could help, only you didn't realize you could actually do it.
Wait a minute, I didn't decide to go, I just went. It pulled me.
Well, yes, in a way it did pull you, but you wouldn't have gone if you hadn't allowed yourself to go. Indeed, the pull from Flumara was strong, but it was your willingness to help that opened the door of space and time. And off you went, and being a defenseless houseplant myself, with no will of my own, I had no choice but to be pulled along into your rather magnificent, and it would seem quite powerful energy field. I happened to call my best friend, Liblong the Good Cloud. You know, I really do appreciate our relationship. I don't say it enough.
Oh, my goodness, Gonquick, I hate to interrupt. I really appreciate our relationship, too. But please forgive me. We're floating here outside the cosmic spaces of Flumara, and I really feel like we need to figure out our next step here. Thank you very much for your explanation. You may have something here, but I'm not sure what to do next. Any suggestions?
Well, I really think it's about combining the forces of your will and your heart, which in both cases, my friend, would seem to be quite potent forces inside your glorious cloud. That, and the convenient fact that you can turn into absolutely anything, is a real advantage. And so, if somehow you could harness your extraordinary constitution...
Okay, I think I get it. Hold on, let me see if I can focus.
And just as Liblong began to find a special quiet in the deepest depths of its billowing cloud of color, there came a force, all right, and indeed a pulling. But this time it was different, and it didn't feel right. Both Liblong and Gonquick were being sucked at rapid speed towards what would seem to be a gigantic hole in an only so distant space, black as jet, inhaling with extreme suction the two friends who, despite their flailing genuflections, rammed even greater speed toward the cosmic depository, elongating their humble forms. Liblong now like a laser-thin, vaporous line of infinite color, and poor Gonquick well separated from its clay pot, a string of dirt surging toward it, with Gonquick's leafy tendrils reaching from behind, moving so fast that they could barely speak. They tried to call out to each other, but could only wail in their desperation as they were pulled faster and faster into what they now realized was indeed a black hole when...
What happens next? Tune in again next time, fellow galaxy hoppers, and remember, live long!
And now, Planet Storytime listeners, here's T.M. Gannon's Liblong Galaxy Hopper, Episode 3. Quite a mouthful. But first, last time on Liblong Galaxy Hopper. After becoming reunited with dear friend and houseplant Gonquick, Livelong puzzled over how they got to the galaxy of Ilmor in the first place and how they were to get home. When before the two friends could figure out their next move, they found themselves being sucked at rapid speed into an enormous vacuum in space when, suddenly, a pair of giant lips appeared around the black hole and the colossal mouth began speaking. "Oh, hey there, I'll let me slow you all down." And suddenly, the free fall forced upon the two frenzied friends gently stopped, and they bounced into a hover and hung just in front of the unbelievably large mouth. It spoke again.
My apologies for a wild ride, but I'm a sucker for fun. Get it? Sucker for fun?
All Livelong and Gonquick could do was look at each other in disbelief.
Didn't land like I wanted it. I'll work on it. I should have gotten a laugh out of that.
Livelong and Gonquick remained speechless.
Oh, no, seriously, I really couldn't help it. I was sound asleep, and when I'm out, I can suck in massive amounts of space matter without even realizing it. I'm so glad I woke up and saw you all rushing toward me so fast. Ever moved that fast before?
well, no, I haven't.
No, not even close. Unless you count how we got zipped from the galaxy of Wontoon to the galaxy of Flumara.
True, but that was a different kind of fast. All of a sudden there was some buzzy buzzing and we were there. This was like...
falling, and falling at extraordinary speed.
Well, anyway, I'm terribly sorry for any inconvenience. I can't help being such a sound sleeper.
No, that's all right. We're really glad you woke up, too. Hey, maybe you can help us get back to the galaxy of Wontoon? Know where it is?
Wontoon. Well, you see, there are a few different ways you can go. You can head back that way for a few hundred million light years, and it'll be on your left. Or I can go ahead and inhale you in through the black hole, and you'll shoot out through the other side, which is known as the white hole, and you'll end up in some other part of the cosmos, or perhaps even another cosmos altogether.
Kind of like Swiss cheese. Yes, I like the sound of that.
Gonquick, I'm sure you're hungry, but...
Oh, no, not that kind of Swiss cheese, but rather the fabric of the cosmos being that like Swiss cheese with holes that are interconnected and such. I wasn't sure if that was actually a thing.
Oh, well, I just live here. Indeed, I don't know all the ins and the outs of it. Hey, wait a minute. That's good. The ins and outs. And get it? Do you get it?
Yes, I get it.
Yes, quite good. Quite impressive humor, don't you think, Livelong?
Like I said, that was a good one, but,
Oh, now, wait a minute. You're Livelong? Livelong the Good Clown? Well, you must know something about these invisible channels in the cosmos. Oh, why, you hop from galaxy to galaxy to help those in need. Well, I've heard about you.
Wait, how have you heard about me? I just realized I have this ability. I've only helped out in one galaxy so far.
You see, along these whirlpool highways, we're a bit ahead of the game, you see. From our perspective, you've been at this a while. You've lived long, Livelong. Oh, hey, that's a good one, too.
Then that's good, but it's not quite as good as the last one.
Okay, hold on.
Livelong tried to keep his companions on track.
So you're saying somehow I've been at this for a long time, so we're going to be okay?
Livelong turned away for a moment to think, and then looked back at the grand muzzle, dwarfing the humbly framed houseplant, and questioned softly,
"You mean, somehow I've got this?"
You would seem to, yes, indeed.
Gonquick, eager to support his best friend, added,
Certainly. I've never doubted you for a second, Livelong. You know, ever since we met...
The black hole interrupted.
I gotta hand it to you, Livelong. It must be quite tiring being away from home all the time, hopping from galaxy to galaxy, helping those in need. The problems around the cosmos must be never-ending. It's got to be like a catching raindrops, like a spinning plates, like a herding cats, like a counting blades of grass. Well, like a...
Thank you. Thank you both. I'm really itching to get back home. Now, Gonquick, you said I need to combine my heart and my will.
Oh, that's right. If you could harness...
Okay. Let me see if I can focus again.
And I'll keep my mouth shut this time.
supported the friendly black hole. And Livelong centered its puffy cloud of multicolored goodness on the quietest part of its being, and thought about home, and the love of home, and Livelong's heart opened wide. Ah, the beautiful planet of Happidity in the galaxy of Wantoon. Somehow, inside the good cloud's mind, Livelong could see a long twisting chute of open highway reveal itself in the otherwise invisible fabric of space and time. And Livelong could feel that with the will to travel it, they could reach home again in an instant. But just as Livelong was about to release the necessary willingness, there was a buzzy buzzing and an electric sting, and Livelong could feel the pool of pain and danger from somewhere in the grand cosmos, and Livelong knew that home would have to wait. There was rescuing to be done.
Gunquick, it looks like we have at least one more stop before we make it home.
And Livelong proceeded to graciously thank the giant mouth of the black hole for not zipping them off to who knows where. And in a flash, Livelong and Gunquick disappeared.
Where did Livelong and Gunquick end up? Tune in next time, fellow galaxy hoppers, and always remember, Livelong!
Welcome back, Planet Storytime listeners, to T.M. Gannam's Live Long, Galaxy Hopper, Episode 4, Into the Fire. But first, last time on Live Long, Galaxy Hopper. After coming face to face with a friendly black hole, Live Long and Gunquick decided not to travel by way of the black hole highway, but rather by Livelong's innate ability to hop galaxies via heart and will. When before they could pull themselves home, Livelong sensed trouble out in the infinite cosmos, and zrrr, they disappeared, only to reappear on the planet of Combustibly in the galaxy of Ignitius, where Livelong and Gunquick hovered just above what appeared to be a beautiful planet with oceans of white milky water and hills of swirled black and green rock. But there was trouble flaming up all across the poor planet, which Livelong and Gunquick could see from their bird's eye view. The planet was on fire. As they moved closer into Combustibly's atmosphere, they could see enormous wildfires burning up the sweet planet, and then off in the distance they could hear the sound of barking. Livelong and Gunquick turned to each other with puzzled stares and then drifted toward the sound. As they proceeded closer from their lofted vantage, they could detect a large pack of somewhere around 100 dogs scrunched tightly together on a small sliver of land that had yet to catch fire. The poor pups were barking in desperation as they had nowhere else to go.
Quick, Livelong, douse the flames,
blurted Gunquick, realizing the panic in the yelps. But Livelong was already on it, and was quickly building up heavy moisture in its extraordinary cloud of goodness, and began unloading sweet rain on the burning planet, dousing the fires to the north, and to the east, then to the south, and to the west. Livelong soaked around the sliver of land on which the dogs were huddled, and those around the edges of the canine cuddle got a little wet.
Livelong, some of the dogs are getting wet. I do believe that dogs don't like getting wet.
Sorry about that, guys.
Actually, Livelong, would you mind watering me a little? The heat of the flame seems to have dried me out.
Sure thing.
And Livelong released a light shower of raindrops and added just a touch of fertilizer for good measure.
We'll be right back.
Hey, parents.
Yeah, you.
Are you looking for a podcast your kids will really love?
Well, we made one just for you.
And for us.
As genuine, all-natural kids ourselves, we know what makes a fun and interesting podcast.
So we decided to make it ourselves. Every show is packed with interviews, stories, and on-the-ground reporting.
We have interviewed everyone from scientists to Grammy Award-winning musicians to NFL quarterbacks.
Listen to Wild Interest wherever you get your podcasts.
Much better. Thanks for the energy boost, my friend. You know, I was looking through our photo album.
Excuse me, Gonquick. We better tend to our new dog friends down here and make sure they're all right.
Oh, yes, of course. They did get a little wet.
Well, yes, and the fire was probably a little hard on them, too.
Oh, right, and that, for sure.
Hey, how are you all doing down there?
Livelong redirected attention back to the pack of relieved doggies. The lead dog named Alfie spoke up.
We're okay, Rao. Rankru.
It took Livelong a moment to adjust to a doggy accent, but then replied,
Why, you're welcome. Of course.
Ah, you see here, Livelong, we have a thick canine accent, or doggy drawl, if you will. And you see, every word starts with R, but is otherwise the same. Now, of course, there are different doggy dialects.
Gotcha, Gonquick, thanks for that.
Livelong proceeded to engage the stunned pack of dogs.
I'm so glad you're all okay. What happened? How did your planet catch on fire?
Well, it's a wrong Rory.
Livelong looked at Gonquick quizzically. Gonquick interpreted,
It's a long story. And if I may.
Gonquick turned to Alfie.
You know, I do speak over 14,000 languages, and while your doggy English is quite good, if I'm not mistaken, I detect a bit of an accent. Would that be Yelpinese?
Ryrish.
Excellent. Then why don't you just go ahead and bark to us in Yelpinese, and I'll translate.
A look of relief spread across Alfie's tired eyes, and the lead dog began to explain some of the history of combustibly.
I see. Oh, well, of course. Without fail, I know. Isn't that something? You know, that reminds me of a time...
Gonquick, would you mind filling me in a little bit here?
Oh, yes, my apologies. You see, the doggies, or dogmatics as they refer to themselves, were living quite happily on their planet, enjoying one of their finest elements of the natural phenomena on their planet, Fire Mountain, a luxurious yet affordable vacation destination suitable for the entire family. When it turned out, far too many dogmatics began coming to the location and started overusing the most popular feature, the fire button, a soft mound on the side of the mountain that, when jumped upon, emits a fiery surge from the mountaintop, offering a magnificent visual and psychologically satisfying display, contributing to the popularity of this family fun hotspot. A pun not intended, but appreciated. Well, thank you. I do enjoy puns.
Okay, so the doggies overused the fire button, and it ended up catching the whole planet on fire.
That's right. But you see, there's still a problem. Some of the dogmatics haven't quit having fun with the fire button, and they don't seem to be at all concerned about the rest of the planet of combustibly as long as they have their button no fun to press. You know, that reminds me of a little story from my days at the garden nursery.
I bet that's a great story, Gonquick, and I'd love to hear it maybe after we get this whole thing resolved. Because what I'm hearing is that we've only put out some of the fire for now. There's still fire, and it's coming back?
That was an emphatic yes, more or less. This situation should give us pause, don't you think, Livelong? A pause? Like dog pause?
Livelong politely smiled, and Alfie attempted but failed to suppress a pained whimper.
Just then, there was an explosion over the horizon of combustibly, and an enormous fireball erupted into the sky and hung over the milky white ocean.
Fire Mountain?
You've got it.
And before anyone could utter another word, the fireball started to expand and surrounded the entire planet, causing the temperature to rise dramatically, making the poor dogmatics pant heavily and Gonquick's leaves to droop. And then Livelong realized... what did Livelong realize? Tune in next time, fellow galaxy hoppers, and always remember, live long! And now, Planet Storytime listeners, here's T.M. Gannam's Live Long, Galaxy Hopper. Episode 5, Part 2 of Into the Fire. But first, last time on Live Long, Galaxy Hopper. After appearing on the planet of Combustibly in the galaxy of Ignitius, Live Long and Gonquick worked to put out the raging fires on the planet and saved the doggy inhabitants before they became enveloped in the flames. Gonquick was translating the dog language of Yelpinese for Live Long when an enormous fireball began surrounding the entire planet, causing the temperature to rise dramatically, making the poor dogmatics pant heavily and Gonquick's leaves to droop when Livelong realized that the dogmatics on the other side of the planet were still playing with the fire button on Fire Mountain. Without even thinking, Livelong turned into a swirling hurricane whose winds and rain would eventually extinguish the fire. Gonquick instinctively jumped into the quiet center of the massive swirl, the eye of Livelong's hurricane, and played armchair typhoon.
Missed a spot there, Livelong. Need some of your stormy goodness right over there. And there. Well, that part really doesn't need it.
But nothing could break Livelong's concentration as the cyclone of righteousness continued to shift to the other side of the planet in search of the doggy culprits, sending massive gusts of wind and torrential rain across the already strained planet of Combustibly, when from a distance, Livelong and Gonquick could see a group of rebel-rousing dogmatics bouncing up and down on the fire button, oblivious to the fiery havoc they were causing all around them.
Over there, Livelong. That's where our fire-happy friends seem to be causing all the trouble.
I'm on it, my friend.
And Livelong zoomed in on Fire Mountain, thrashing the button side with wind and rain, causing the derelict doggies to run for cover with disgruntled growls. Upon seeing the pack of rebel dogs disperse, Livelong eased the storm to just a steady rain, so as to bring the doggies back out, but making them just uncomfortable enough that they wouldn't rush back to their fire button fun. The lead dog, Zeta, barked up.
Hooray! What's going on?
Yeah, he said, what's going on?
Gonquick assisted unnecessarily.
Thanks, Gonquick, I got that. You know what, you all can go ahead and speak in Yelpinese. Gonquick here can translate.
All right, Ren.
Responded Zeta, a bit dejected, thinking his doggy accent must have been too hard to understand. Livelong tried to be tactful.
I'm sure you all were just trying to have a good time, but did you realize that by pressing the fire button over and over, you were setting the whole planet on fire?
Well, Zeta says that's just what Alfie says. Alfie doesn't know what he's talking about. Alfie doesn't like having any fun. A real stick in the mud. Likes to put a damper on the fire, if you will. Zeta says the fires haven't bothered his pack.
Well, have you actually listened to Alfie's story?
They don't talk. They're not on barking terms, as it were.
Well, let's fix that. And with great determination, Livelong rose up like a tall crane and extended an enormously long arm that stretched to the other side of the planet of Combustibly and held out a fantastically large hand for Alfie's pack to climb onto. Except that Alfie and the other dogs were confused by this island-sized hand extended before them, and Livelong could tell they needed encouragement.
Gonquick, could you help me out here?
And Gonquick rushed by air in a flash to hover over the pack of doubtful doggies and reassured them.
Hop aboard, dear doggies in distress. It's time to work things out with Zeta and company. And Livelong is just the kind of cloud to lend a helping hand, clearly. All aboard. I'm sure Livelong's arm is getting tired.
From a distance, Gonquick could hear Livelong's appreciation.
Good call, Gonquick. Arm is aching. Aching badly.
And quickly, Alfie and company hopped aboard Livelong's open palm, and upon Gonquick's A-OK, Livelong gently but swiftly pulled the pack back over to meet Zeta and company at Fire Mountain, right next to the fire button. The two dogs stared at each other and growled. Zeta fired the first salvo with Gonquick interpreting.
Zeta says Alfie is a no-fun-having-no-funster.
Alfie responded and Gonquick relayed.
Am not.
Zeta replied.
R2. Am not. R2. Am not.
Okay. We're not getting anywhere like this. Look, you all, you're all on the same planet here. You've got to be able to have your fun and keep everyone safe at the same time.
Well, Zeta says, yeah, well, no one tells us what to do.
And just then, one of the smaller pups in Zeta's pack impatiently jumped on the fire button playfully, but instead of sending the flame up out of the top of the mountain, there was an explosion at the button itself, sending everyone falling back upon their bottoms. The wee pup suffered a burn that singed off most of its fur. Luckily, it wasn't worse. Still, it didn't feel good, and the wee pup was embarrassed for losing so much fur. Zeta stepped closer to check on the injured puppy and realized it was his daughter, Xena. Then, Zeta saw something in his daughter's eyes that he had seen somewhere before but didn't know where. And then he realized it was the same look that was in the eyes of the pups in Alfie's pack. Xena was hurting the way they were. Zeta's heart began to pound, and his eyes filled with tears, and Zeta howled into the smoky, combustibly air. Gonquick looked at Livelong and announced,
"No one shall ever be harmed by the fire button again. No one." Alfie, will you help make sure of that? You bet, Zeta.
The two dogs looked at Gonquick with slight irritation.
I realize that you don't need my translation. That's right.
But I did. Thank you for that, Gonquick. Job well done.
And as the dogs began to regain their barking terms, Livelong and Gonquick began to lift away from Combustibly to the sound of grateful barks. When suddenly, there was a flash of light so blindingly bright that all Livelong and Gonquick could do was close their eyes tight. When... Not again. When what happens next? Tune in next time, fellow galaxy hoppers, and always remember, live long!
Thank you. live long in Galaxy Hopper, and be strong and don't be afraid. Live long.
Welcome back, Planet Storytime listeners, to TM Ganem's Live Long Galaxy Hopper. Episode 6, The Story of Malcolm McMinus, Red-Haired Earth Boy. But first, last time on Live Long, Galaxy Hopper. After helping the rival packs of doggy dogmatics on the planet of Combustibly in the galaxy of Ignitius, Live Long and Gonquick were blinded by the brightest of lights when what happened next was the sensation of being poured from a gigantic pitcher into some kind of unknown cup. But for the inability of either of them to open their eyes for the brightness, they had no idea where they were falling. Live Long checked in with Gonquick in the midst of their freefall.
Gonquick, how are you doing? Can you see anything?
That would be a solid negative, my puffy friend. You see, and neither of us possess the necessary photoreceptors to accommodate such an incredibly bright light, so that's why our eyes are clamped shut.
Just making sure you are having the same problem I am. Any ideas on what this bright light is?
Livelong's problem-solving mind was desperate for a solution.
Not as yet, though you know, I do have a notion.
And just then, the blindingly bright light softened, and both Livelong and Gonquick could sense that it was safe to open their eyes. And when they did, they found themselves hovering above the most beautiful planet they have ever seen.
Gonquick, do you think this could be the strangely curious planet they call Earth? I've heard of Earth, mentioned a lot, but do you know anything about it?
Earth is a medium-sized planet in the Milky Way galaxy, which is a barred spiral galaxy with a generally estimated visible diameter of 100,000 to 200,000 light-years. And the Milky Way galaxy is estimated to contain 100 to 400 billion stars and at least that number of planets. The Milky Way as a whole is moving at a velocity of approximately 600 kilometers per second with respect to extragalactic frames of reference. Its oldest stars are nearly as old as the universe itself. Incidentally, there is also a candy bar.
Thank you, Gonquick, but I was asking about Earth.
Yes. Well, Earth is heavily populated by many different life forms, some of which are directly related to me. The human species is a popular one, although not related to me, with approaching 8 billion inhabitants. Approximately 71% of the planet is covered by water, yet strangely, almost all of the human species live on land.
Good information. Thanks, Gonquick. Let's go ahead and move closer.
And as they did, they happened to zero in on a location above a cluster of apple trees where they found a boy of slight frame with bright red hair sitting inside one of them.
Hello, friend.
Hi, how are you?
Please allow me, Livelong, if I may. As you know, I speak over 14,000 languages and can surely be of assistance here. He said, greetings, essentially, and then asked a very general question regarding your origins, which could possibly interpret it as...
Gonquick, it's okay. I can understand perfectly. I think we're all speaking English here, right?
Livelong turned to the boy.
My name is Livelong, and this is Gonquick. We're here to help you.
My name is Malcolm McMinus. I feel sad.
Why are you sad?
Well, my mom and dad are sad. Some kids at school aren't very nice to me. And I lost my mittens.
As it happens, I carry an extra pair of mittens with me at all times. Just in case. You can have them, Malcolm.
And the flowing philodendron handed the boy a pair of soft knitted mittens.
Oh, wow. Thanks. I've never seen a talking cloud or a talking plant before. But when I'm sad, it feels like there's a cloud in my head.
Yes, I know. Sometimes I feel sad, too.
Yes. While it has not been conclusively determined if I can feel sad, I am a sentient being, and as such, there is at least a possibility that I can experience a full range of emotions.
Malcolm, do you know why your parents are sad?
It's just hard for them. They have a lot of things to do and to think about.
Yes, parents have a hard job.
And the kids at school tease me sometimes because I have red hair.
I'm sorry. That's not nice. The truth is that all colors of hair are beautiful in their own way. Life wouldn't be the same without people with red hair. I think you know this. The kids at school just don't know this yet. I'm sure one day they will understand.
Liblong noticed that Malcolm was holding a small notebook and asked,
Can you tell me what's in your notebook?
Lots of stuff. I like to write words and numbers. Sometimes I draw pictures, but I'm not very good.
It's good to write things down and draw, especially when you feel sad.
Livelong turned to Gonquick and suggested,
Maybe we should try that too, Gonquick.
Ah, yes, well, as you know, I have been compiling a photo album of all our travels through space and time. Maybe it would be nice to supplement our photographic records with some stories. Oh, the stories we could tell. We sure have some good ones. It has been said about the written word.
Thank you, Gonquick. Let's stay focused for now.
Pausing to observe the beautiful scene from their lofty perch, Livelong commented,
It sure is nice to be up here in this tree. You can see far, far away.
I like it up here because it's quiet and still.
That reminds me. My mother was raised near an apple orchard, and I was born there. It was very nice. I was just a small cutting when I was put on a spaceship as part of an experiment. I traveled for many years before settling and taking root on the planet of Happy Diddy, and meeting my very best friend, Livelong. I haven't seen my mother since. Happy Diddy is beautiful, but sometimes I miss her.
See, Gonquick, you do have emotions. Missing someone is an emotion. When I travel to planets that have clouds, I sometimes look into the sky and wonder who my parents are. Malcolm, maybe you can remember that when you feel a cloud in your head, your brain and your heart are still working to help you see something good, even if it is difficult sometimes. Just like how you can't see the sun when it's cloudy, but you know it's still there, and it will shine again soon. The best thing you can do is to be kind to yourself and to others. Also, remember that you have special gifts. Everyone does. Things that you're good at that you can use to make yourself and others happy, like writing and drawing and climbing trees.
I'm good at other stuff, too. I can run fast and make pizza, and I train my dog to do tricks.
As Malcolm, Livelong, and Gonquick all sat quietly looking into the sky, a feeling of calm came to be and filled the crisp air, and everyone knew at that moment that somehow everything would be okay. And just then, the extraordinarily bright light returned, and Livelong, Gonquick, and Malcolm all had to close their eyes tight again. What is that music? I'd better wrap this up. What happens next? Tune in next time, fellow Galaxy Hoppers, and always remember, live long!